Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, the podcast that some have called the first family of podcasting. If you're wondering who said that, you don't know her. She goes to another school. My name is Dallas, and I am basking in the year of Julia Garner. When Weapons comes out in August, I will be at my full power.
Terrifying image.
just like Weapons.
I'm
the T-pose.
Yeah. I'm Cassie, and I have more art on my body than I did 24 hours ago.
Ooh, love that.
Gonna circle back to that.
Hey guys, it's Demi. Yeah, currently trying to live my best life. Welcome to another episode of the Creative Differences Podcast, like your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Fancast Fridays, Throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. Today, we're back at you guys with a review for The Fantastic Four First Steps.
Yeah. Love that. Also glad you're trying to live your best life. Everybody should do that. Yeah.
I'll discuss exactly what I did this past week.
And what I'm planning
to do in the upcoming week.
Speaking of this past week, so you're wondering, where's Gabby? She on part of the podcast no more? Y'all kick her out? What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened for this time. We go to see Fantastic Four. Gabby looks up at the screen. She sees Pedro Pascal looking lovingly into the eyes of Vanessa Kirby. Gabby screams out, "It should have been me!" And she runs out of the theater. No one has seen her since.
That is her supervillain origin story.
Yes, never to be seen or heard from again. She's probably going to come back with a Doctor Doom mask.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. Good luck, Gabby. Before we get into this fantastic movie, please like, share, subscribe, hit comments, hit things, send it to people, because we're getting comments now, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, obviously sometimes it sucks depending on the comment, but overall, I like it. I want to keep it, keep going, keep it coming.
All right, let's get into this review, shall we?
Yeah. Fantastic Four, First Steps. It is directed by Matt Shakman. He directed WandaVision.
Yeah.
He does a lot of TV. So he directed WandaVision. He is an executive producer and frequent director of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And most importantly to me, he directed like 5 episodes of Psych, including Dual Spires, the Twin Peaks episode, and Lights, Camera, Homicidio, the telenovela episode, which is one of my favorites. Shout out Matt Shakman. I didn't know he did that. Movie is written by like 4 dudes: Josh Friedman, Eric Pearson, Jeff Kaplan, and Ian Springer.
I also want to point out that Matt Shakman also works on Monarch Legacy of Monsters, which is my favorite of the MonsterVerse anything right now.
Does he write for it, or is he like a producer or something?
He directed. I think he's one of the creators as well, or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. I must have missed that. But yeah, good show. Shout out Matt. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's an executive producer on that show.
Oh, that makes sense. So yeah, back to dudes who wrote this movie. Josh Friedman, he wrote War of the Worlds, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, some other stuff. Eric Pearson, he's a Marvel boy. He wrote Thor Ragnarok, Black Widow, and Thunderbolts, and some other stuff. And then Jeff Kaplan and Ian Springer don't have Wikipedias, but doing my due diligence, going the extra mile, providing that Patreon-worthy effort. These two appear to be a writing duo, and they wrote The Last of the Great Romantics and Burton Arnie's Guide to Friendship. I don't know what those are, but they're on IMDb. The movie stars Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Eben Moss-Bachrach, Joseph Quinn, Julia Garner, Paul Walter Hauser, and Ralph Ineson as Galactus. It is based on the Fantastic Four. And the IMDb summary says, forced to balance their roles as heroes with the strength of their family bond, the Fantastic Four must defend Earth from a ravenous space god called Galactus and his enigmatic herald, Silver Surfer. All right, so it's a dope ass movie. Initial thoughts. I told Demi this last night. I haven't done my Letterboxd review yet, but my review was almost just hell yeah in all caps. So those are my initial thoughts.
My initial thought is Dallas is correct. This is a fantastic movie, as he said earlier. Yeah. My Letterboxd review is not done because I haven't. I like my Letterboxd reviews if I'm going to give an actual review to be kind of articulate. And I just haven't really gotten to think through what my review was going to be. But I did really love this movie.
Same. Let's get this question out of the way early. Cassie, did you see the movie?
Nope.
All right.
Got it. All right. So, one thing I want to bring up that I was thinking about early on to the movie is in our group chat, Demi said, the reviews are saying it's like live action Incredibles. And Cassie, justifiably, was like, what do you mean? Incredibles? No. Fantastic Four came first. It's the blueprint. Shouldn't it be the other way around? And I thought, That makes sense. I'll see when I see the movie. And when I saw the movie, I thought, I know why people said that. Because The Incredibles, in addition to being fantastic and scored by Michael Giacchino, it has this vibe and style of a modern thing that's being made to look retro. And Fantastic Four, for the first time,
retro-futurist.
Yeah, is doing that because most iterations we've seen of Fantastic Four are contemporary for their time. So like Fantastic Four was created in the 60s.
Yep.
But it just looks like current day for them. It wasn't like we're trying to look like back in the day. And then Tim Story's Fantastic Four in 05 just looked like 05. And then Josh Trank's just looks sad. So now we're at Fantastic Four looking like back then, which is what The Incredibles does. And then also, you know, the other stuff is Fantastic Four did it first, like the family dynamic and all that fun stuff. But I get it. I like the vibe. I like everything so much. I love the characters.
I think because they chose to make it retro-futuristic in the vein of the 60s, first of all, I think that was a great idea because it does make it more distinct than the other Fantastic Four movies that we've gotten. It gets to pay homage to the origins of the Fantastic Four. I think Fantastic Four number one came out in like 1961. And I also think that they got the perfect director for it, which is Matt Shakman. We saw what he did with WandaVision, where he like perfectly like emulated. That was one of my favorite things about WandaVision was how perfectly it emulated these sitcoms of the past all the way to the present. And he did it so well that they got the right guy to do, hey, we're doing a movie that looks like the 60s. Let's get the dude who made the sitcoms for us that look like the 1940s until now to do that.
Yeah.
And it's done so very well. The set design, the clothing, everything it fits perfectly, but it's got that retro futurism, like we said. It's got like a Jetsons type of look to it, right?
Yes, very Jetsons.
Which I love. I was a fan of the Jetsons as a kid. So yeah, I just think that like on an aesthetic level, they did such a great job. Also, like cinematography wise, like some of those shots look like you would draw those in a comic book.
Yeah, they do so many cool things with the visuals.
Like there's this shot of pregnant Sue in front of the, I don't know what's going on outside, they're like a sun or a bright light, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's a comic panel.
Yeah. And I love looking at comic book movies and just seeing things and be like, yeah, like, well, there's one thing that Kayla and I say often when we see a really cool shot, and not just comic book movies, but anything. And it's just like, I want that as a poster.
Yeah.
Like that would make a really dope. And there's a couple times, there was one, shout out my girl Julia Garner, shout out Silver Surfer. But she, first of all, actually surfs through this movie. Like when they go to Galactus's house or whatever. Like she's surfing through lava. And it kind of looks like those Capri Sun commercials, just in like style. Yeah. But like there's one point where they kind of slow it down when she's doing it. And Kayla and I both out loud in the theater just said, nice. Independent of each other. Because that's just, it's just so dope looking.
It's a really good looking movie. So good. And like in the same way that like a couple weeks ago we were talking about Superman and I was like, this is the most comic booky a comic book movie has been. I think the Fantastic Four also goes in that category, like, which is crazy because it's only been 2 weeks later. But like, I'm like, this is also like one of the most comic booky movies that we've ever gotten. I'm glad that we've reached the point after almost 20 years of comic book. No, it's been over 20 years of comic book movies. We've been making comic book movies for a while. We've been in a phase of consistently making comic book movies for like the last 20 years or so. I'm glad that we've reached the point where like the general audience understands the language of comic book movies enough that we can now do like crazy stuff like this.
Yeah, we don't need to make it just look like, hey, it's New York. It's like, no, this is a medium that we're adapting. Let's make it look like that.
And we can do all sorts of weird stuff and the general audience won't be like, we don't have to be afraid of the general audience being like, oh, that was too weird.
Yeah. Like, hey, be weird. This is a weird thing we're doing. Yeah. Do it. Weird it up. But
I personally am a fan of the Fantastic Four. Usually when I say I'm a fan of like comic book characters, it's because I've like done a lot of reading of comic book characters. Not in this situation. I've just been a fan of the Fantastic Four since like 2005 when the first movie came out. I always loved the Fantastic Four ever since I saw that movie. And so I liked the way that they did these characters for this movie. I always thought Marvel Studios would like be the one to like truly crack the Fantastic Four movie, and I think they really did.
They really did. So I was watching, and I try not to do the thing where, like, I put something down as a means of building something that I like up. That being said, it's just, there are certain movies that, like, adapt similar source material, and it just feels like, now we got it. Because Fantastic Four, the character types are very, like, archetypal. Like, you have, a lot of times, it's just, Reed is smart, Ben is gruff, Johnny is reckless, Sue is a woman. But now, we have, like, yes, Reed is smart, and his intelligence leads him to be, like, he carries this weight on his shoulders. Anything that goes wrong is my fault, because I should have figured it out. And I can't think in a way that's outside of figuring these things out from a scientific standpoint.
So I legitimately have always liked Reed, because I liked Yoan Griffin's portrayal of Reed in those, in the 2005 movies. The 2005 movies are just, you know, they, you watch them and they're definitely from the early 2000s.
Very much, yes.
But this movie made me love Reed. Like,
yes,
I've heard a lot about how in the comic books, Reed is kind of a dick. And I like that this movie did. He's incredibly smart. And sometimes he's so intelligent that it lead, like, his logic leads him to occasionally be very insensitive. But I like that the movie didn't make it like he's an awful person for sometimes being insensitive. And I do like that Sue calls him out sometimes on having certain thoughts and being like, what are you doing right now? This is not, this isn't the way that we should be thinking. And him being like, I can't help it. That's who I am. And I feel bad about it, but that's how I work.
To the point where, and this is what I was talking to you about off mic, one of my favorite Vanessa Kirby moments in this movie is also across the board, fantastic performances from everybody. Let's say
loved
that,
everybody in it.
I forgot to get to somebody, but he tries to like suppress that.
Yes,
because
they
get to a point where there's like, there's a thing that happens in the movie that's, I'm not going to bring up because, you know, it gets into plot stuff, but he comes up with a plan. And he has to pretend he hasn't yet, because Johnny and Ben are like, okay, so how are you going to make this happen? And he's like, I don't know. But Sue knows him. And she says, you do know. You figured this out already. And you're, the thing that you figured out is the thing that we said we weren't going to do. And Reed says, I'll figure something else out. He knows it's the best plan, but he's like, I'm not going to do it. But she's like, I know we need to do it. And this is the scene I was talking about. Vanessa Kirby.
So good.
She says, I know. And she's like backing away from him, and she says it like three times. And that last one is like so guttural, and she like turns invisible just from her emotion. She's like, I know, I know. And I was like, hell yeah.
Okay. Vanessa Kirby. Home,
Kayla and I both brought that up. Like, okay, so that scene with her saying, I know, right? It's just,
she's
so good.
So, she's always been so good, but man, she is incredible as Sue Storm. I got like halfway through this movie and was like, oh, right. Sue and Johnny are two of my favorite characters. I've always loved the Storm siblings, like ever since I first got into the Fantastic Four. I love the way that Sue is written in this movie.
Same.
Partially because I've watched two shows this year that have basically sidelined their female characters because motherhood.
Ah, yeah.
One of the things I was really happy this movie did was that Sue never at any point gets sidelined because she's pregnant or because she's a mother. She is consistently in the fray. She is constantly involved in the strategy. She's involved in the action, even though she has a child at home. There was never a moment where it was like, no, you can't go because you're a mom.
Stay home with the baby.
Yeah. No, they were like, no, Sue's part of the team. Sue is going to do the thing, even though Sue also has a child that she has to take care of. And I was so afraid that, like, she would get sidelined. But, like, I think that she might be the MVP of the movie. Especially when you get to the end of the movie. Like, Sue is that girl.
She goes hard at the end.
I love Sue so much. And Vanessa Kirby also plays her so well. So, like, not only is the writing really good for the character, but her performance as this character is just really well done. Like, I was like, yes, that's my girl. I love Sue Storm. And this, like, movie is, like, the epitome of why I love Sue Storm.
Yeah, and I feel that about all of these characters. Like, Ben is not just, like, the muscle. He is actually Reed's best friend. And he goes to comfort him in a way that a friend would. Like, yo, you gotta stop beating yourself up about this whole situation. They even have this, like, funny interaction where Reed is like, it's my fault, I should have figured it out. And Ben's like, you're not that smart. It's like, obviously he is, but he's like, okay, I am though. And he was like, can you cook? And he's like, that's more of an art than a science. And it's like, did you pass your driver's test? And he was like, that was a signage issue. And you just have this friendly banter between them. And like, Ben is like the homemaker. He's at home cooking with the robot and adding garlic to the pasta so it has more zip. And he's telling Johnny, why are you eating Lucky Charms? You're going to ruin your appetite. Like,
when
it
I
is
tell
a family.
You, that moment just made me think of my little brother. I've seen my little brother do that. I've seen him get like a bowl of cereal like right mm-hmm. before dinner is going to happen. And it's like, why are you eating? And it's like, because I'm hungry. And I'm just like, I cannot stand. I was like,
it's so Johnny is peak little brother energy.
Johnny is so little brother energy. But also like on Ben, before I move on to Johnny, because I do love Johnny. Mm-hmm. I also like Ben's also the one doing the grocery shopping. He's the one who's talking to the kids in the street.
Yeah.
Also
Yancy.
So a lot of times these superhero movies get a lot of likes, a lot of flack, because they have a tendency of erasing like the Jewish heritage of a lot of these characters.
Mm. Yeah,
not a case
not
here. They
this.
Did not do that here. And they didn't, it wasn't even like something that's very overt. It's very subtle. But yeah. Like, I was like, oh, they didn't do the thing that they usually do where we just don't even acknowledge the fact that some of these characters have religious beliefs or backgrounds.
And because so many of these creators were Jewish.
Yes, they were.
Like, the old school Marvel, like DC, like a lot of these people were Jewish and they put that into their characters. And now it's just like, yeah, they're white people. But like, Ben Grimm has been canonically Jewish since 61. And this movie didn't shy away from that. And I love it.
Also, Natasha Lyonne, we love her. Shout out to her.
I was so happy to see her. I forgot she was in this. And she popped up and I was like, hey, Charlie Kale.
It was funny because about a week before the movie came out, I was thinking to myself, who is Natasha Lyonne playing? I was like, oh, what if she's playing Ben's love interest? And bam, I don't know if I'd call her a love interest particularly in this movie, but it does feel like that's where that storyline would lead.
Just
if we
setting
were to
the
get
seeds.
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I love. Natasha Lyonne's great. I also really love, one of the things that I've always loved from the Fantastic Four is Ben and Johnny's relationship. They're like bromance and how like they're constantly like going at each other in a very brotherly manner. And like Johnny is just, I love Johnny. He's so good in this. Joseph Quinn is great as Johnny.
He's fantastic.
I also really like how they do show that Johnny is extremely intelligent. Like he's not just
yes.
a guy who loves space and a guy who loves women. He also is very smart.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not just her little brother. Like I'm part of the team because I'm also smart. Like he breaks down a language in this movie. Like
he translates
they show
an
that.
Entire language.
Right. So it's like, yeah, we have different, we're intelligent in different ways, but I'm not just here because I'm hot. Like I'm on the team too.
And he and Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn and Vanessa Kirby have like really good like chemistry as like a brother and sister dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. as like an older sister, I was like, oh yeah, I totally get this. I understand.
Like the way that she comes in when he's like trying to listen to that thing and she just like pushes him with the force field. Like yeah. subtly like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, this feels like an actual brother-sister relationship. And I love it. The relationships in the movie are the strongest part for me because they feel real and the dynamics all feel real.
And that gives the movie emotional gravitas when we have to get to like, actually like most of the movie, like the conflict that they have is very like difficult. And I really liked this like theme of fear and how you face your fears and how you overcome it. And how mm-hmm. you like find your solutions in the midst of that fear. Obviously, family is a big part of the movie. It's the Fantastic Four. They are the first family of Marvel. So the movie's going to be about family and just how they work as a family. And I think if this cast and if these characters didn't work as a family, this movie just, it falls apart immediately.
Right. And before we leave, I got to shout out Julia Garner.
She's got a really dope scene in this movie too. My brother talked about that one when we came out of this theater.
Yeah, and like Silver Surfer's a character that's easy to just, he looks cool, he surfs, he's silver, that's all you need. But like there's an emotion to this character and like a warmth when she interacts with Johnny that's like, I'm not just here to like, because I want to kill all of y'all. Like, I'm here, this is my job. She gives him that like, what does she call it? A blessing in her yes. language. Like, and that adds like layers to the character. And we get the, I don't tell you how to drive. Don't tell me how to shoot sexy aliens. One of my favorite lines in the movie.
I also really love, we haven't even talked about Ralph Ineson, who is one of my favorite actors. Whenever he appears in anything, he's also in one
Perfect
of my favorite
Galactus.
Shows, Willow. I knew he'd be the perfect Galactus as soon as they cast him. I was like, oh, the bass is about to be bumping. We finna be shaking in the seats. And we were. Indeed, we were. I also was very surprised that I think when they cast him, I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a great voiceover role. I assumed that Galactus would be like full CGI. I wasn't anticipating that. Like, no, they're actually using Ralph Ineson's face for Galactus, which is really nice and very cool. I'm just saying, just the voice.
He's not a big cloud. He's a man. He's a giant man in space. He's a giant man. Make him look like it. And he looked cool, like the glowing purple eyes that would kind of go like in and out. Like, this is Galactus, what Lee looks like. Thank you for giving us that.
I will say that there is one bit of CGI that I do not like in this movie. We have not evolved as much from Twilight as we think we have, because that CGI baby is horrifying whenever they use the CGI baby.
Kayla said the same thing. Yeah.
I love whenever the actual live baby is there, but the CGI baby, I'm like, adorable. I'm horrified.
The real baby's adorable, but yeah, there's some shots where I'm like, oh, Renesmee.
Yeah. Yeah. Babies can't do everything that they need that baby to do in that movie, so I understand why it's a necessity, but man, it doesn't make it any less creepy. But I did really enjoy this movie a lot. Like, I came out of it and I was like, there are three superhero movies that have come out this year that I don't know which one I like more. It's just like, depending on what time, what I feel like watching, I think all of them are like really good. I think that they knocked Fantastic Four out of the park, and I can't wait to see this team again. I'm really excited to see them again next year for Avengers Doomsday, which it does not feel like we're preparing ourselves to watch an Avengers movie next year.
No, the vibe is not the same as when we were getting them before.
No.
But, you know, probably still be a good time.
It will be.
Last thing. Paul Walter Hauser, he plays
Mole
Man, I think is his name.
Yeah, I think it's the Mole Man.
Who was essentially the underminer from Incredibles. So yeah, like, when they introduced him in the beginning, I was like, we're doing it again. I love it.
Oh,
he's great. Also, shout out to him. He's very funny.
Who was the actress? Hold on, because I want to give her proper props, because I really liked her, even though she is barely in this movie. I just liked her character.
Sarah Niles?
Yeah. Sarah Niles playing, playing Lynn. I loved Lynn. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of Lynn.
She's great.
Lynn seemed like she was a dope friend to the team.
I'm always happy to see Sarah Niles, Dr. Sharon from Ted Lasso, for those who don't know.
Love that, man. It was great. Fantastic. Yeah, Fantastic Four was fantastic. I had a great time with the movie theaters.
Exactly.
Easily my favorite Fantastic Four film, even though I absolutely adore the 2005 movie and its sequel. But this one gave me the cosmic space odyssey that, like, I've really been wanting out of the MCU. We've gotten some cosmic adventures out of the MCU. I mean, we've gotten Guardians of the Galaxy movies. We've gotten a Captain Marvel movie that takes place in space. But I really enjoyed what they did with the Fantastic Four with this.
Same. It was delightful. I will watch it again, probably.
I probably will as well. If I can find the time, we'll probably go see it again.
I feel you. All right. I think we covered that. Let's take it over to Cassie, who watched 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So let's find out what it was. Did you see I put more things on the list?
I did. Yes. It was lovely. Thank you for that. So today, about an hour and a half ago, I watched the first 10 minutes of Invincible Fight Girl on HBO Max.
I love Invincible Fight Girl.
I know you do. That's why you put it on the list.
I put it on the list because I thought you would actually might like it, but I also love it.
So basically, premise is that this takes place in a world that almost exclusively revolves around wrestling, except for some reason there's one aisle of accountants, which, why do you still need taxes in this world? I don't know.
You always need taxes. Everybody needs taxes.
Taxes. You could just create a world where there aren't any taxes. We could do that. We could do that in this world if we really... Anyway.
That would be nice.
Yeah. But it's about this girl who wants to be a wrestler real bad, but her parents are like, nope, you were born in an accountant aisle. We're accountants. Everybody in family is accountants. Everybody you know is accountants. You're going to be an accountant and you're going to like it, which, God, I'm so sick of that as a plot point. Like, be interested in what your child's into. Like, care about your child. Jesus Christ. And they do, but it's like they don't know her interests at all. Like, come on. Anyway. So she's going to accounting school, but she hates it because it's not the vibe. And the main conflict is that she's at school and then they find out, oh my God, the like top accountants, the like best accountants in the world all got sick and the wrestlers are coming tomorrow to do their taxes. So that means that y'all losers are going to have to do their taxes. And everybody freaks out because, like, they're, you know, students. How are they going to do that? It's going to be terrifying. Also, there a lot of them are, like, scared of the wrestlers for some reason, which for a world that revolves around wrestling, I mean. Anyway, and she's like, oh, fuck yeah. I'm going to get to meet a wrestler, and I can ask them some question, and then eventually I get to become a wrestler or whatever. But then the next day happens, and she gets there, and her boss is like, yo, you? Nah, you trash. Get out. Not really get out, yeah. But, like, you don't get to do anything with the wrestlers. You're terrible at taxes. Just stay out the fucking way, and we'll give you a degree anyway, which seems like a terrible way to do things, because if she's that bad, you should not pass her, because then definitely she's going to do taxes her. For people and fuck things up. But, you know, that's how it goes, I guess. And so she's like, well, I guess I'm stuck here being sad. And then she hears, like, a dude who sits next to her in class, who may or may not be her friend, like, hyperventilating, because he's like, oh my god, the wrestlers, they're so scary, I can't fucking do this. And she... literally, it ends with her, like, smirking, and you can tell, like, okay, she's going to find a way to replace him and then meet the wrestlers and then blah, 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 achieve her dream. And, like, yeah, it was fun. The thing about it for me is, like, it's really fun, that first 10 minutes. I don't know that I want to keep going only because I don't give a shit about wrestling.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that, this takes place in a world where, like, you have wrestlers and then you have Miss comes into the ring and teleports around every 5 seconds. And I guess we're all fine with that, which seemed a little like the other three wrestlers in that ring were just kind of wrestling. And then she comes in like, yo, what's up? I'm everywhere you want to be. I'm Nightcrawler. And I'm like, I guess that's in the rules. But yeah,
it's a weird world.
I mean, that's the point.
Yeah, like, it's more, I feel like, in terms of, like, what you'd have to be into to like it, it's more anime-influenced than wrestling-influenced, but it's definitely, like,
okay.
How there's, like, an anime for everybody that's, like, if you like cooking, sure. If you like basketball, sure. If you like that, this is if you like wrestling. Mm. And to be honest, it's such a silly show, and they do the things like, you know, we can teleport, so it's, like, even if you're not into wrestling, it's, like, wrestling is kind of just, like, a framework. Like, obviously, the people who made it are into it enough to make this show well. But, like, it's a bunch of silliness and a bunch of fights, which is great. I do think it's funny. It's kind of like I remember when you did your 10-minute take for Shrinking. And Shrinking starts with, this is the worst guy in the world.
Yeah.
And then becomes, no, he's not. Everybody loves each other. And this starts with them doing that trope that, like, this is what you're going to be, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, immediately after, maybe in, like, minute 11, I don't know, I might be exaggerating, but, like, the next time we see her parents interacting with her, they do the whole, I'm scared to talk to my parents about what I really like, what are they going to say, blah, blah, blah. And she does, and they're immediately as supportive as they can possibly be.
Well, that's awesome, because it really doesn't seem like that, because, like, the night before when she's like, I'm going to tell them, but then she's like, nah, her dad's like, it's okay, you're an accountant, you couldn't be anything else if you tried. I was like,
you were born. Yeah.
Damn.
You were born to be an accountant. And it's funny because that whole interaction is, they think she's afraid that she's going to fail.
Yeah.
They don't think that she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So they think they're helping. He thinks he's like, of course you can be a good accountant. Don't be scared. You were born to be an accountant. It's the only thing you can do.
You were born to be, but when he hits the, you couldn't do anything else. Couldn't be anything else. Like, wow.
Yeah. Because then at the end, she's like, so I want to be a wrestler. And they're like, you know, they take their moment. And then I think the next scene after that, after they take their time with it, they're like, so we bought you a ticket to go to Wrestling Island to follow your dream.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's just the most, like, wholesome. It's such a wholesome show. And it's so silly. And I love it very much.
Nice.
And I hope they get a season two, because Adult Swim is quick. Not Adult Swim specifically, but, you know, Warner Brothers, they will cancel an animation show without a second
guess. I don't give up. Oh, you filmed true. A whole movie featuring a movie. Superhero that people know and love? Nah.
Psych.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Apparently, it has been renewed for a season two.
Hell,
it was renewed
end of
last year.
Love that for me.
Nice.
There you go.
Before we move on, I was talking about living my best life, and we are currently not really doing what you've been watching and stuff like that, but I do want to mention, because you guys have all heard me talk excessively about Renee Rapp. I did get to go see her perform live this past week at a secret show in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally within 10 feet of her, like, standing within 10 feet of her. It was a very small show. And, yeah, I'm still hyped off that, and I'm so excited for her album to come out. She performed 5 songs from the album, 3 of which have not been released at all yet. And she's just... it's so funny to me because I'm like, I feel like people would be like, oh man, was it more than you could dream of? And I'm like, no, it's actually everything that I dreamed of, because I just have so much respect for her as an artist and like her talent and how great she is, that it was like, no, this is absolutely everything I've ever wanted. She's amazing. She's dope. Like, I couldn't possibly ask for more except to maybe meet her and work with her. Like, that's all I could ask for, which is I'm not going to get that out of a secret show concert thing. So,
right.
So yeah, it was great. I had an awesome time. That is me living my best life to the fullest of my ability, is seeing an artist who I've been obsessed with for like the last 2 years now, whose music I do credit like getting me through a really hard period of my life, and getting to see her perform live. Like, that was really, really cool.
Nice.
And I look forward to seeing her live again in October, shortly after my birthday, for her actual concert tour. And also, next week, I'm going to go see Cynthia Erivo live. At the Hollywood Bowl, nice. Doing That's Jesus cool. Christ Superstar. So I'm super stoked for that. Like I said, living my best life to the fullest of my potential that I can right now. Seeing artists that I just love and have so much admiration and respect for, and who I think are like at the top of their game. So that's me. That is currently my life outside of doing movies and watching movies and working in television right now, which is making me extremely exhausted. But hey, I get to do a thing, or I at least get to be adjacent to a thing that I love doing, and I'm working my way to that.
True.
True. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that because I love Renee Rapp so much, and I got to see her live, and that's at a last minute thing, and it was insane and dope, and it was super cool. I loved it. Her album comes out next week. Anyway, Dallas,
nice.
We have comments, so you say.
We do.
Different Welcome opinions, baby.
Different opinions. All right, so starting with YouTube, as we do, because that's where we start. Our Superman reaction. We got a couple comments. One is from Elias Carrasco. They just wrote so many random facts about... It looks like one per cast member of the show, of the movie. And I'm not going to read all of them because who has time for that? But it starts with just like, young Lois Lane is watching Clark race the train. The actor sitting one side of her is actor Kirk Allen, the very first actor to play Superman in the 1940s. The actor sitting on the other side is Noelle Neal, the original 1950s Lois Lane. And it goes on from there.
Wow.
That was like probably a fifth of the comment. They were
shout out
doing
to
it.
You for giving us
shout
all that information.
Yeah.
We love fun facts.
We love fun facts. There's also a random fact in the middle about the Manson family murders, which I was like, hey, man, maybe one of these things is not like the other. But yeah, fun comment. Other than that Manson thing. And then we have a comment from Anand Vijayan. Sorry if I'm messing up your name. The comment is, I don't know how movie commentaries work. That's not actually the comment, but the comment says, it would be great if you did not comment every 10 seconds.
What?
Which makes me think you don't know how movie commentaries work.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do.
Because if you click on movie reaction, half of that is reaction.
It's also
you just
like,
want to watch the movie.
We edit it so that we're saying stuff, because otherwise it would just be looking at us sitting there, blank expressions. Like, you want that?
We'd probably also get hit with like a copyright block or something like that.
Yeah, we can't just post movies. You can't just post movies on YouTube, dude. That's not. We're not bootlegging over here.
Yeah, we got to cut around it as much as we possibly can.
But yes, Anand, I recommend that you A, learn what a movie reaction is, and B, find somebody with an HBO Max password, and then you can just watch Superman without the comments and the reactions and however you want to watch it.
I'm going to say what Billy Benges usually says for his reactions, which is, you're going to see more of me than you are of the movie.
Yes. This is our YouTube channel. This is not the Warner Brothers official Superman YouTube channel. Actually, I would recommend you buy it on physical media, because then you have it and streaming won't just take it away from you without a second thought.
Yeah. True. I legitimately just got my Sinner's Steelbook in the mail today.
Hey, love that.
Yep. And I've already ordered Superman, my Superman Steelbook, so.
Nice.
Nice, nice, nice. Speaking of Superman, we have more comments on Superman things going over to TikTok. Because that's where people actually be commenting. On our reel about how horny Lois Lane was in that old Superman movie when she was interviewing. Yeah. Friend of the show, Diaria, said, great movie, flame emoji. You right.
You are right.
A lot of these comments are pretty old. I was like, I should probably turn on my notifications for TikTok so I see when people comment. Because these kind of pile up. And then on our Superman review reel, this is where we got a lot of them because people like Superman sometimes. We have one from Rick Harris from Pawn Stars. That's the person's name on TikTok. I don't know if they're actually from Pawn Stars. I haven't seen it.
I used to watch it.
All right, well, maybe this is Rick Harris from Pawn Stars. It says, it's too good.
Yeah, hi.
Good movie. I like it. It's a fun time.
Can we go on Pawn Stars now? Like, what's the...
Yeah, can we go pawn some stuff? I don't know.
We can pawn some stuff or buy some stuff. I'm sure they've got some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah. Rick, let us know. The rest of these comments are from the same Superman review reel. Eugene Vasquez says, I'd rather watch Green Lantern 1,000 times.
I've never seen that movie, so I have no opinion.
I have. I mean, hey, man, that's your business. Red Savage 95 responded to that comment and said, Lex, chill, we know it's you.
Whoa!
That's excellent.
Which is hilarious. That's my favorite comment of the day. Emily says, love this Superman so much. It's punk rock to be kind. Shout out to Emily.
Oh, I wonder if that's...
It is.
Oh, cool. Hi, Emily.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Emily.
Look at that.
Hi, buddy. She actually, what's funny is she told me that she saw the reel, and not only did she see the reel, it actually just naturally popped up in her algorithm.
Oh my God.
We're in the algorithm.
We're getting noticed. Wild. Hey, girl.
So the algorithm is starting to love us. And also, hi, friend. I love you.
It only took over 300 episodes. Let's go. Last comment of the day from Logan South says, you really have to try hard to hate this movie. It was amazing start to finish.
Yo, agreed. Like, I didn't even think it was amazing, but yeah, you really gotta try to hate this. It's not that much. Like, calm down.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot. Amazing is a stronger word than I would use for it, but if you hate it, you probably just hate having a good time. Or you really, really like Billionaires or Israel. I don't know. But shout out Logan South. Thank you for the comment. And yeah, that's different opinions. Wow. They are different. They are opinions. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just a list of fun facts about stuff. And sometimes there are people who might be on Pawn Stars.
Hey, guys. So we've got a little bit of time, I would say, because we haven't gone too long. So I want to try this thing. We haven't been doing news in a minute. And because of how busy we've been, we're not going to be able to do our usual Comic-Con recap episode. So,
right.
I want to ask you guys, is there anything coming up or that was like announced at Comic-Con or news from Comic-Con that you guys are excited about?
Cassie, you go first.
I think nothing that was like announced, but stuff that was like shown more of.
No, for sure. Like what's shown more of, whatever is exciting you for the upcoming future in pop culture that was that.
I mean, these are going to be related, but Predator Badlands and Alien Earth. Both of those look very much like my shit. And I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's on brand for you.
Dallas, you got anything?
I'm gonna be honest, I haven't been paying attention. I've seen things here and there, and I'm like, is that a Comic-Con thing? All right, Comic-Con is happening.
I've been posting things in the group chat that have been Comic-Con related.
Yeah. Like, I saw the picture of the Avatar. Not the Blue People Avatar, the Avatar.
There's also that. I am super excited for that.
Cool. Yeah. But I haven't watched the Gen V2 trailer yet. I've been slacking. I've been watching Fantastic Four. So
you watched it once. That's like 2 hours of your life. Hey, and then there's so much other time where you could just look at the chat and Demi's being really great about posting stuff. And
are you good, Cassie? Do we have a problem?
I'm just saying. You can't use Fantastic Four as the excuse. You ain't been going back to back.
I mean, we also did hang out last night, so. Yeah, I also have not watched the Gen V season 2 trailer because me and Dallas were literally hanging out
talking about
when I sent
stuff.
It. Wow. So I'm going to...
Disrespectful.
I'm going to finish this off. Obviously, I am super excited for Percy Jackson and the Olympians, which is coming back in December for season 2.
Hey.
The teaser trailer was awesome. I'm super excited. I read a full article about what they've been up to. They've already been renewed for season 3, which is great for us. They announced who will be playing Nico and Bianca D'Angelo.
Hell yeah.
Characters that we've been excited to see for a while.
This is good.
I'm also very excited that they used a lot of practical sets and locations for Sea of Monsters, mostly because the volume kind of was restricting to what that needed to be done for what Sea of Monsters is. So
nice.
Super stoked about that. Super stoked to see the show. The show looks bigger. It looks grander. The kids are so grown now. Oh, my gosh. And I'm really excited for season 2. We got a preview for The Legend of Vox Machina season 4, which is coming back next year. And not only did we get a preview, but we got a renewal for season 5, which will be the final season of The Legend of Vox Machina. And I am desperately hoping that that means that once Vox Machina is finished in probably 2027, then that will hopefully, or maybe 2028 now that they've got two shows running at once. I'm hoping that that means that they'll start doing an animated show for Bell's Hells, which is campaign 3 of Critical Role, which is the Wolf campaign that I actually watched and has my favorite party. And I would love to see that story in animation. We also got the preview for Critical Role's The Mighty Nein, which is coming out in November, which I'm super stoked about because this is a team that I don't know too much about outside of it being like Emily's favorite of the Critical Role teams. So I just kind of like going into the shows blind and not knowing what the campaign consisted of and just getting to experience the story through the show.
Right.
But also Ali'i Carvalho is guest starring on The Mighty Nein, which is exciting to me. They listed off a bunch of guest stars for The Mighty Nein season 1. Anika Noni Rose is one of them. They've got like a whole bunch of people actually who are guest starring. I think Mark Strong is one of them. Alan Cumming is going to be in it. They always have a really good cast of guest stars on these two animated shows, and I love that. So super excited. The show looks really good as well from the little preview. It's a fun little like jail interrogation. But yeah, those are like the three main things that I saw from Comic-Con that I'm just like, yes, give me these things. I'm super, super excited.
Nice.
My fantasy stuff.
Yeah. Fulfill her fantasies, Comic-Con.
They can only fulfill so many of them.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I don't know what you'd be fantasizing about.
Mm. But anyway, that's all we've got for you guys today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us, listening to all that, commenting if it was nice. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon and I, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. To me, thank you for editing and putting us on YouTube, watching Fantastic Four so we could bond about how dope it is.
I'm so happy about that movie.
Same. It makes me happy, and I am happy to be happy. Cassie, thank you for your 10-minute take on that show that I love. And, you know, coming through for the vibes as you be doing. As always, audience, you can reach us in the comments or you can hit us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, and TikTok at Creative Differences Pod, which seems to be where you guys are actually talking to us. If you want to talk to me about how The Incredibles is still the best Fantastic Four movie, but this one was also great, you can find me on Instagram and Letterboxd at A King Named Simba.
Come talk to me about, I don't know, what books you be reading. I'm kind of like in between books right now, and I need to pick something else up. You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer.
Hey, Cassie. So I'm currently reading Oathbound, which is technically the third book in a series. But if you wanted to start on that series, I love it. It's fantastic. Kayla recommended it to me. I'm also currently reading the Iliad because I'm prepping for the fact that the Odyssey is coming out next year. So I'm going to be reading the Iliad and then I will be reading the Odyssey. And I have a year to do all that.
The series is like King Arthur mythos, but the main character is like a black girl?
Yes.
I think. Yeah, I've heard great things about that.
It's great. I'm reading the third book right now. It's awesome. But also I found the leading character to be highly relatable because we've been in similar situations. Anyway,
nice.
You guys can find me on Letterboxd at Demi Joua. I'm still currently working on my Fantastic Four review, but you guys can go there to check out any of my actual articulate reviews, or you guys can check out what I've decided to make joke reviews about. There are a few. Sometimes I go back and forth, but sometimes I actually go into depth as to why I like or am indifferent to a movie. I try not to go too hard in the paint on movies that I don't like. There's other people who can tell you why it's not a good movie. But anyway, thanks again for joining us. Tune in next time. I don't know what we're doing next time, but I have a feeling in my gut that we might be discussing Freakier Friday, My Mother's Wedding, and Weapons.
Well, before we get to Weapons, which I will definitely be discussing, we're going to get yiffy because The Bad Guys 2 comes out next weekend, and I'm going to hope that Gabby can join us for that.
We shall see if that's our next review, but if it's not, it's probably going to be the ones that I mentioned.
Yeah, we'll just throw it on the back with those. All right. Oh, sorry. Speaking of Gabby, you want to find her? You want to talk to her? You want to see what she's been up to since she screamed and ran out of that theater? You can find her on Blue Sky at Stretch Me Read.
Yes. As you were breathing into it, I was like, it's going to be something with stretching. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I got to give a shout out to the Fantastic Four movie, because while we have not gotten better at doing CGI, well, we've gotten a little better at doing CGI babies. I'll give them that. It's better than Renesmee. Still creepy, but better. I much prefer the CGI fetus in this movie than I did in Blonde.
Yeah. What a comparison to make, CGI fetuses.
It came to mind as it was happening in that movie, and I was like, I'm having Blonde flashbacks, but I feel much better about this.
Nice.
This one at least left me with wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine what the other one left you with.
Fear.
Anyway. Fair. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
All right. So, Gabby has another social media.
Oh.
If you can't find her on Blue Sky, she has an alt account also on Blue Sky, and it is Eat Me Like Galactus.
Beautiful.
So you can find her there.
Well done.
I love it.